Welcome everybody to Brethren in Devotion. My name is OJ Hernandez and I'm here with Robert Morales.
Hello, Robert Morales here.
We are here starting a podcast that is called Brethren in Devotion, and pretty much all we're going to do is just speak about our experiences with the Lord and how we get into the path of devotion and how we keep it. And I would like to start with simply honoring some of the people that have been pillars in our walk with God. For me, for example, I got to honor Mark Casto, Matt Petry, Bobby Lemley, Damon Thompson, Dot Sheets, and the family of Carolina Revival, among others, as well as the family here in Orlando from the Father House, which Norbert is part of it, Michael Dow, John Garrett, and Rick House. And we have so many people that I will be here talking for hours, but I just want to honor them because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. If they wouldn't hear the call to the wilderness, if they hadn't hear the call to just get hidden in the secret place, we will not have such an example to follow. And fathers like Dutch Sheets and Apostle Damon Thompson, who have become fathers to this generation in the terms of devotion and intimacy with Christ. And I would like Norbert to tell us a little bit also about his spiritual fathers and his brothers that the Lord has put in his life.
Yeah, I will say that I will honor not just people that are in the wilderness or in the devotion or secret or intimacy with the Lord, but people that guide me when I was young. I would say my uncle, Iván de la Torres, one. He was my first loving pastor. I would say that I believe when the Bible says that, when the sheep hear his voice. And every time I listen to that verse, I always think of him because he came and rescued me in a difficult season. I was in high school. So he came into my life. I will definitely honor Pastor Wade. I will definitely honor other people. My dad, my father, Felipe Morales, he was a traveling evangelist and singer. But in this past 4 years, God has brought a man into my life. His name is Michael Dow. He's been a voice. We've been walking together, even in a season that the Lord called me into to abide and learn and sit with him. He was like a Paul, and I would say I was like a Timothy type of deal. And so I will honor him, and we can get into more details later on and probably get into some stuff in the Bible, but I will say too that my wife, Jessica, is probably the number one. She's always there with me in everything that I do through the day and night, through the struggles, even through those moments that I've been in the hard season, we would say. And, you know, you need counseling, you know. So my wife, and not just counseling, I'm just saying that's one of them, but she's been a voice into my life, and I love her to death, even my boys. And my brother, OJ, since I know him since he was 12 years old. So definitely OJ has been a covenant brother to me, and other guys from the Father's House, people that I love, John Garrett, Stephen Brickhouse, Saji, my boys. You know, so yeah, there's we can get into very profound details on each man that the Lord has led us into walk with.
Definitely.
But, you know, we can say a thousand things, but it's just an honor that the Lord brings people into our life. There's a quote, if I can remember, says that when you were praying for someone, God brought you a friend. So you were praying for something divine and an encounter with an angel, and that's amazing. You get those.
Yeah.
He brought you a person, brought you a friend.
So, that's it, brother. Me and Norbert, we have been walking together for over 20 years now. And It's been very, very interesting to see the stages of life developing between us and just seeing each other since we were teenagers, and then we got married and we had kids, and now we are in this as well together. And it's just an amazing journey that I get to say that I can spend this time with a brother that has been with me almost all my life. Because Norbert and Felipe, which is his brother, has been like big brothers to me. I am the eldest of my family, but they came to my life and pretty much they became my big brothers. And it's been an honor not only to live all these stages of life with them, but now being in this relationship with Jesus, so intimate and so strong at this point of our lives. And I know this is just starting. And I know it's just developing at this point, but we've learned to abide in His presence and in our lives. There's nothing else that matters, you know. We did religion for many, many years, and the Lord brought us out of that system and out of trying to do things for the Lord to now do things with the Lord, which is a big difference. We are now moved by the Spirit. We're not trying to do this because we got together and say, hey, let's do a podcast. You know, the Lord put that in our hearts. And this is just the fruit of something that the Lord put in my heart for almost a year, being almost a year since the Lord told me to start this. And before moving on from honor, I would like to honor one more man. And this man is very special to me because last week I went to Washington, D.C., and a lot of things happened while I was there, but it was around 3 days after the death of Billy Graham. And although I never knew this man, the Spirit let me felt like a mantle that came over my life when this man died. And I remember the day that he died, the Spirit was whispering to me, and he said that there's a change of ages from this point on. There's something that will develop from the death of Billy Graham. And even I found out after those words, a prophecy that Benny Hinn was giving about his death and how his death was going to bring out the hidden church, the church that nobody is looking at because this church is hidden. It's talking about a corporate body who is going to become out of being hidden and is going to pretty much bring the greatest revival that this earth has ever seen. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to see the picture of Billy Graham at the National Gallery. And this is the quote that is on this picture in Washington, D.C. right now. And it says, "My one purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God, which I believe comes through the knowing of Jesus Christ." And I think it's so profound because a man that pretty much did everything in life. I mean, if you look at the life of Billy Graham, he probably went all the way around the world, preached on the greatest crowds, and he saw miracles and things that many of us were looking to do for years when we were in the religion system. But this man came to the pinnacle of his life, and he says that the purpose of his life was to bring people to a relationship with Christ, which I think is the very essence of everything that we're doing here. And under that, under the accomplishments that Billy Graham did, I want to start this podcast just to let you know that we're doing this for you to find the path of knowing Jesus Christ, to start a relationship with Jesus Christ and keep it. Because this is going to be conversations about the people that have said yes to the wilderness and being hidden, not because we want to accomplish something later on, but because we are accomplished greater things in the Spirit. Another quote that I want to read about Billy Graham is, it was actually from his last interview on TV, and he said, they asked him, if you were to do things over again, what would you do differently? And he says, yes, I will study more, I will pray more, I will travel less, take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I have to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and I adore him and looking forward to the time we're going to spend together in eternity. And the reason this quote really spoke to me is because when I read it the first time, I was getting out of the system and getting into the wilderness. And the first thing that the Lord told me when I started this process was, I want you to stay hidden. And for 6 months, I carried that word inside of me because I didn't know what that word meant. I was in the process of just letting the religion out of my life and starting to have a relationship with Christ on a daily basis, where I really started to know him, where I really started to interact with him, to walk with him, and simply just develop a life that is not what they teach us at churches. It's not what they teach us everywhere we have learned something about God. But it's really taking out the opinion of men and getting to know God in ourselves. And that is what we would like to express in this podcast, to simply to let you know that there is the possibility to have a relationship with Christ and to keep it into the point that he will know what is in your heart and you will know what is in his. And once you get that, it's not for you to tell the world, hey, have this, but it's for you to get seated in stillness in a place where nothing can move you from your certainty of what God is to you and what you are to him. Is to learning what is the identity that he has given you, and also to learn what is hidden in his heart for you to discover. Because it's the same thing that happens when we get in love for the first time. You know, when we see that woman that in the first time we get in love with her, it's not enough to know who she is and how she looks like, but we want to know every single thing that is in her heart because we want to win it over. And this is the same pursuit. It's called the first love, which is spoken in Revelation chapter 3. It's the first love, which is from the Greek word agape. And that word is the love that is chosen. So this is not a love that grows inside of you, but this is a love that you choose to follow because something inside of you is telling you this is it. This is what you've been waiting for. And I would like for Norbert to just come in and say some things.
Yeah. I think I think when we get to a point, especially for me in my experience, as you know, I encounter Jesus 3 years ago, but before that, I was just doing ministry, and I think is, you know, I grew up in the church. I grew up in Pentecostal church. I grew up with a dad that was, you know, let's say dysfunctional in a way at home, but in the outside of the home, he was ministry. He put on the suit and the ministry. So to me, it was, I would say it was confusion because I love Jesus because in a way I always looked at him like a helper. And that was in my younger days. Now I'm not saying today. I don't want people to get confused with that one. But I looked at Jesus as a helper, as I can go, because he has mercy. Let's just be honest. He's a God of grace and of love. And you know, we always got to look in that part. And I don't think God gets mad at us just because we do ministry. I think ministry is we just fall in love with Jesus and we go into, and that's passion. I would say it's passion.
Yeah.
But intimacy is a whole different ballgame, I would say. So I would say when I was in church, I did a lot of ministry because I just loved Jesus. So I would say when I was in my younger days, man, I used to drive the church bus and pick up people. I was teaching the young kids in Bible study, actually the children's church, not just the youth, but the children's church. So you grow into this passion, but yet not knowing who he is within you. And that's something that it has to be through an encounter. I believe that it has to be an encounter. There's no, I can't look at it no other way. In my experience, people have different experience. I have friends that got saved one night in the altar and they see Jesus and they're just wrecked by the presence. And they, but for me, as I was growing up in a dysfunctional home, in a, you would say it was a Christian home, but dysfunctional in the secret because people really wasn't seeing what was going on in my home. It took me some time. Actually, I would say it took me almost 37 years to really fall in this bride relationship, face-to-face communion with the Lord. So, you know, I believe that God loves us, you know, but he really wants us to encounter him. He really wants us to go into deep, deep, deep. And I believe that even in, I'm walking in a season with a man that he's been in church. He's the older man. He's 10 years older than me. I'm 40, so he's 10 years older than me. And this man has just been in church, but a year and a half ago, he encountered like dreams and visions and all this stuff. And the Lord brought him into my life. And that's what I was saying in the beginning. When you ask for something special, because remember, when we get hungry in the word, and remember, to understand this, the word, the Bible, in the right context, we have to know Jesus, first of all. We can't just read it. And I read the Bible many times as like the book, but it wasn't until I encountered Christ. And this man was hungry. God brought him. I came into his life. And actually, I felt completely out of place because there was a very, this, I was in discomfort most of the time. But I used to go and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you have brought me into his life. And I would say it was like coming out of the context of Acts 8 when Philip and the Enoch, and, you know, he was reading the scriptures of Isaiah. But Philip was there for one day and he got baptized. But God told me to walk with him and disciple him. So I believe when we start encountering Christ and we're in the system, let's say the system, we're in the system and we go to the system and we sit in the system and we go back home. But God always is looking. He's looking around, looking for that one hungry heart. And that man was hungry. The Lord came in. I came into his life. And it doesn't mean that I'm special. I'm not special at all. But I'm pouring into his life in a way that his life is changing. Like, he's fasting, he's praying, he's hungry for, like, he wants to fast, he wants to do a liquid fast, like all this, you know. And we develop this, like, when we develop, let me just say that, man, it's amazing, this topic is really wrecking me, but when we encounter Christ, man, we get this hunger within us that we just fast and pray and we just want to keep fasting and we just want to pour into people. And I believe that that's we start finding our identity.
Come on.
That's the key, because we have worked in the system and we're working in our gift. And, oh, man, he's a great worship leader, a great musician, or a great preacher, a great youth pastor. But then when we encounter Christ in the secret place and he starts speaking to us in the secret, we're like, God is like, yeah, that's, yes, I love you, but I have other plans for you. My plans for you is this: sit and abide, and listen, and build a relationship. Become my son. Be my son. See me as a father.
That's it.
And I would say that you know, there's, I would never, there's things in the system that I don't agree, but we came out of the system and I gotta be thankful. Because if it wasn't for the system, today I probably would have been in jail, or I probably would have been somewhere.
Definitely.
Or even dead. But there's always more, and we can go into context, me and OJ, and, you know, we can go into context with things in the system that are not even biblical or ethical, but that's where we came from. And
exactly.
And I believe, and that's even biblical, that we have to honor. But that's what I can speak. I don't know if I came out of it.
I think you hit something very, very important in the devotional life. Because for me, one of the breakthroughs in becoming into the devotional life was to see me as the Lord sees myself, how He identifies me. Because what happened in the church is that people start seeing things that you can do for the church and start identifying you with those gifts.
Exactly.
For example, you were an excellent musician, and they point at you, oh, you are a great worship leader, and you were. But as you've become intimate with Christ, you have found things inside the music that are not the same things that you were hoping for.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm going to say this because I had the privilege to see that transition. I mean, you had your own band, and you are a drummer, and you were an excellent in all the things that you did. But now in devotion, you have a passion for soaking music in the piano.
Yeah.
And whoever knows you from then and sees the Norbert that is here now, they know it's a completely different person.
Yeah.
But the most important thing about this transition is how your heart flows. Because, I mean, many times this has happened in the house church when you start playing and I feel like the ambience changes. And it's because of that. I mean, I think whatever we do for the Lord, when we take out the people around us from what we're doing, and what I mean by that is when we go to the secret place to do the things that we love for Him, not because we want to impress other people, is when really those gifts start to manifest. And in other words, when we bring those gifts into the public, not because we want to impress anybody, but because we're doing the same thing that we're doing in the secret, then those things come alive in such a way that give us authenticity and a unique sound. It gives us an identity that the world has not seen.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what I've seen in your lifestyle. Yeah. That's what I've seen. And I've told you this before, but I just want to make it public to honor you. And it's just that passion, because it's not that you were not an amazing drummer before, because you are. I remember when we went to the studio to record my first production, you brought your drum set and you set it up, and when we hit the first tone, you recorded in one take. And Peter Sanabria, he looked at me and said, "Who's this guy? He came and he just did your song in one take, no mistakes." Yeah. And it's not about not being excellent at something. It's just being the transition of what the church saw in you, and they identify you with that, with what God is identifying you now in the secret place, which is flowing out of the heart, and it's just coming into another instrument that I know for sure that before you had a lot of trouble with, but because you separated yourself for that instrument and you started worshiping God in from the heart, you have become an amazing instrumentalist in the keyboard. And it's just amazing to me, because I really enjoy more what you're doing now in the piano than what you did before in the drums. Not because you were not great at those things, but it's because of the heart. And I think it all has to do with what you just said. It's just that identification that Jesus has for us in the secret place. Because I can tell you, my life in the system was me trying to do things to please people. It was me trying to study the hardest, to be the most eloquent, to be the best that I can do in my own strength to impress the people. But once I started this devotional lifestyle, it all has become about what God wants. I had to lay down everything about myself. And in the beginning of a devotional life, you will encounter yourself with a position where you have to lay it all down. Jesus said it this way, I have come to set an example. And when he said that, he took out the robes of being a rabbi and put himself the robes of being a slave, because during the days of Jesus, the people that washed the feet were the slaves. One of the things that I learned when I went to Washington and went to the Museum of the Bible is that people didn't sit at the table. They practically laid down. And the way that they lay down is they lay down towards the table and their feet were towards the outside. So the slave will come and wash their feet on the outside while they enjoy the table, while they eat. So they were considered the lowest of jobs to be doing the washing of the feet. But we know that when Jesus said, I have come to set an example, what he was doing was taking out whatever entitlement was inside of him and putting it aside to serve his own disciples, which is a teaching of a lifetime that I think we all have to embrace, not only because he surrendered it all, but what it means. And we go later into the depth of that, but today for what we're talking about in terms of devotion, of starting, I just want to point that out because it all has to do with what Norbert said. He says, the identification of Christ changes you in secret place. And it is true.
Yeah.
Because all your life, for example, in my life, I had a lot of people that has pointed at me as a teacher, as a prophecy guy, or many, many things that people have seen me becoming proficient at something. But in the secret place, all I hear about is, you are my son. You are my bride. And all God wants for me to do is not to do things for him, but to do things with him, to just come to know his heart. One of the pleasures that he has given me in this devotional life is to know the corners of his life, which has been a lifetime, because every time that he shows me something about his heart is totally life-breaking, and there's not even words for me to explain what I've encountered there. But it's just that passion and that engagement that we have to with each other, that we need to know what is inside of our hearts. And once you start gazing into the reality and the realm of heaven, you will start seeing things very differently, because we see a lot in systems and in churches that people talk about things that they've heard of. But it's very few people that speak about things that they're living in that moment. And that is what we want to bring everybody on into this podcast. We want everybody to start living what we are living and even go deeper than we're going, because we are not designed to point at to say, this is it.
Yeah.
But we're just showing our way of doing devotion, and we hope that that stirs hunger and the desire to come into this relationship and start just living a lifestyle that is led not by what people say about who you are, but listening inside of your heart what God is saying who you are. Because I can assure you that once you come into this path and you start laying down all your desires, all the things that you ever wanted to do for God and for your own life, the Lord will start bringing order into our lives. And order starts in the simple things and goes developing into the spiritual things, because order is not something that is only for the physical life, but also for the spiritual life. It's creating, at first it's going to feel like a routine, because you gotta, I don't want to say discipline, because I don't think that's the right word to use in devotion. I will say just to get in that first love with your actions and just becoming intimate with Christ. At the beginning, it's going to feel like you're forcing yourself, because your flesh is used to just get distracted very quickly, or not to have a long time of prayer, or not fasting. And those things will become a pleasure into your life, because you don't do them because it is a discipline. You do it because you love Christ in such a level that you want to just break whatever it is that is holding you back in your flesh. And I would like Norbert to speak a little bit more about this because he has done more fastings than me, and
I'm more holy.
Very much.
No, I think it's you know, when you were talking, I was thinking there's always an invitation from the Lord, and it took me. I heard this many times, and it has really stuck in my heart. Is when the young rich ruler comes up to Jesus, and he's like, "Man, I'm doing everything that to be a great Christian, or I'm doing everything in the system, or he's saying, God, how can I be the 13th disciple to walk with you every day?" And he's following your commandments, and he's saying all this stuff. And the Lord says, "Well, there's one thing that you're missing," mm-hmm. and that's what I believe that that's what the Lord does in the secret place. He will always highlight the things that you're missing. You know, because when we're in the system, we have this, I would say, you can say religion in a sense that we're doing it the right way. But here comes the Lord and tells us, "Well, son, you're missing one thing. Your devotional life needs help. You're not really walking in obedience, because as we become one with him, obedience is key. I believe the listening of the Spirit, it comes through obedience." And, you know, Jesus comes up to the young rich ruler, I bet, and definitely was gazing at the eyes of this young guy, saying, "Well, there's one thing that you're missing. Just whatever you have in your bank account, give it to the poor." You know, and that's the difference. I believe that there's people that will always... And I have talked to many that they will look at Christ as laws. Okay, but I'm doing this. I'm putting it in my calendar. I'm serving the Lord the right way. But then how you want to encounter more if you look at Jesus as a system? Jesus is not a system. It's a devotion, or is I don't know how to put it in words on that. But
I would say Jesus is life.
Jesus is life, exactly. But what I highlight in the young rich ruler life is, like, Jesus invited him. Like, imagine if he would have gave all that he had.
And just how different.
What a difference would have been. And that's the difference between the ones that just stay in the system and obey the system, and we are doing the right thing and we are holy. And there's the ones that are meek, that are always hungry, that will always go a little farther and waiting for God to just come into their life and really, really wreck them and speak. And I would say, when OJ was highlighting things that the Lord has done in my life, and not just in music or ministry, but even as a husband or a friend, like, God has really stripped away a lot of things, you know, and I see things, because I'm a family man, and I'm all about family. Even when I speak to young couples, I'm always talking about, you know, young couples that are about to get married.
Yeah,
it's to honor, you know, and if you want to honor your wife in the right way, it has to come through intimacy with Christ, because you become a bride. And as you see, as you become a bride and you see Jesus, that's how you're going to treat your wife.
That's it, brother.
So I will say, in a way, that God is going to, there's hidden things that the Lord brings out in the secret place. But the most that I have enjoyed is how much I love my kids, how much I love my wife, because... You know, even when we go to Matthew 6, he says that the public will come. But, you know, I don't, if you look at me 25 years ago, to me, ministry was number one. But today, it's my family. Today, it's my covenant brothers. Is if I want to travel, because I've been traveling for the past year and a half, I've been traveling around the world. I want to travel with my friends, even now that this year we're going to start our own ministry, and me and my wife are going to travel together. Like, this is what it's all about. It's not a platform. It's share the platform with the people that you love. Come on, man. And it is so it's so beautiful. And you know, there's more. I believe that, and this is wrecking me. I believe that hunger, you always gotta stay hungry. And it's one thing that I tell a lot of people that know me and that I love, and young people. I was 2 years ago, I used to be a youth pastor for almost 5 years. And a lot of my students are now in college, and they hear me now and they're like, man, what happened to you? And I said, man, I saw Jesus, man, and he just wrecked my life. And I don't speak the same. I don't look the same. Like, I don't even think the same. Super. I look at people as souls that, you know, and I'm not saying that I didn't 7 years ago, but I saw it more like a ministry, like, man, I'm going to do ministry. But now is we become like Jesus. And that's the DNA. And I believe the identity, I think that's when we find our identity. I think that's a good topic, because a lot of people want to have this, right? And let's just be honest, because there's going to get to a point that people are going to want more.
Exactly.
Because when people start reading the scriptures and they start praying more than 10 minutes a day, they start really encountering the presence of God, they're going to ask for more. And this is key. This is so important that, man. Yeah, man, I just pray that those hungry hearts, people that are doing ministry, that they can encounter Christ, and through encountering him, somehow God brings that Jonathan, God brings that Jesus, like that deep, man, it's nuts, man. It's amazing. Yeah, man. So I'm getting wrecked here by
me
the presence,
too, bro.
Man.
I just want to touch a little bit on what you said.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that the system did to us is to put the pressure of perfection. And I remember a quote of Bill Johnson. He said, "Religion is perfection. The kingdom is excellence." And, you know, I think what I've loved the most about this journey is to have a kingdom family. And I'm super honored, because I will say I have two families, because
yeah.
I have the Father's House here in Orlando, and I got my friends from Carolina Revival who has become brothers to me. And one of the things that Matt Petry told me is, just keep burning, man. Just keep burning.
Simple. Keep burning.
And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need to hear.
Because sometimes you're in this path of devotion and you're questioning if you're doing this well or not. And you're trying to figure out, what else can I do? And then you have a brother that has been walking this for many years, and he comes to you and he says, just keep burning, bro. And sometimes that's all you need. And also Mark Casto, sometimes he comes to me and he just asks me simple things. How are you? How are your kids? How is the family? Because I remember many times having meetings with pastors and evangelists and stuff. And they don't ask you those stuff. They just ask you how you doing, what are your numbers, and stuff like that. But, you know, the important thing is not what you can do for the Lord, but what you're doing with him when nobody is looking. Because it's like the Pharisees, they would like to boast before everybody, oh, I am the best, and I know the Bible from A to Z, and I give the most money. But it's the people, like the lady that gave all she had in the offering, who caught up the eyes of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the people who simply, when he asked to follow, that they follow. Those are the people that got the attention of Jesus, not the people that are trying to boast in what they can do. And for me, it has been like that, because all my life before this, I've been trying to be somebody in the system, and what that took me was to be miserable. I remember working three jobs, and on all my spare time, I was just trying to do books and preachings and studies and stuff like that. And I was so stressed, man, that when I finally stopped, it was a rest. It's such an incredible rest. I remember when I started coming into the devotional life, I went to pray, but I was so tired that I just get asleep. But I felt the presence of the Lord just comforting me and saying to me, it is okay to get asleep in here because this is a safe place. And I remember when I woke up that day, I had such a sense of peace in my heart. I really cannot describe how my life changed with that one nap in the presence of the Lord. And ever since then, I've learned not to come to the secret place with an agenda, with a lot of topics for my prayer or a lot of songs for my worship, but just coming genuinely before the throne of God and simply honoring and hosting His presence, because He knows what is in our hearts. The Bible says that He knows our words even before we speak them. So what you think you can come and surprise God with is not with your actions, but it's with the posture of your heart. It's with the real intent of your heart to come and be with Him. I can tell you that right now, my favorite moments in the secret place is when I'm quiet, when I am in stillness, when He is simply going through my heart and pointing out things that are there that I don't even know. And those are the times where I'm really enjoying to be with the Lord. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in the secret place. But it has to come this point in your life when you crash with yourself, when you collide in stillness, and simply all your movement stops with His presence, and you have to stop and let Him move. I can tell you that when you stop moving and let Him move, your life is going to really advance. And this will not make sense for a lot of people, that being in stillness is how you advance. But I can tell you, that's my testimony. When I stopped, when I finally got into His feet and surrendered all, that's when I started advancing. And I was a whole year, I separated myself for the Lord a whole year, when I came to His presence without prayers, without worship, without anything. All I did during that year was to honor Him for being with me. All I came to do was to worship Him with words and praise Him. And I never asked for anything for myself. I never brought any topic that had to do with me, but my whole time that I was with there during the whole year was simply speaking blessings and honoring His presence at the moment that I was with Him. And right now, my life is not very different. It's very rare that I brought myself into the conversation, not because I don't like to pray, but because I think that whatever I need is inferior to what He needs. I think if we change our focus from ourselves to Him, if we focus on Him entirely and completely, then anything that is below Him will have to align to the reality of His presence. And for me, I've been in this devotional posture for a year and a half, and I'm just starting now. But I can tell you that I've never been hungrier than now, and I've never been burning like this before, because this is something that once you start, the Lord keeps blessing you with hunger. I remember my three fastings last year, all of them were for hunger. I wasn't fasting for gifts. I wasn't fasting because I wanted to see crowds. I wasn't fasting because I wanted to be successful in the church, but I was just fasting to become more intimate with the Lord. I was fasting to just become hungrier with the Lord and just to learn how to host and honor His presence. And that is my lifeline. If one thing has helped me to keep myself in the devotional posture, is just to keep myself hungry at all times, to keep myself with my focus on Jesus. And I'm not going to lie to you, there are times where some problems in the flesh sometimes overcome to you. But if you learn how to keep your focus on Him, just those things will start aligning to that reality, and those things will start to falling off, because nothing can be above Jesus Christ. Therefore, everything that is below him, it has to align to the reality of who he is in our lives. And I would like Norbert to say some final words to wrap it up.
The closing moment. No.
Closing.
But I like the, when you said the stillness was the best, you know, best part of home, when you said secret place. And
yeah, that's my favorite part.
I went into Martha and Mary, and, you know, that's one of my favorite stories, actually. That was 2 years ago. Martha and Mary is a story that I have preached many times, and every time that I read it and go through it, and I let the spirit speak into it, it's always something that God always highlights in those couple of verses. But you know, when you were saying stillness, how I was reminded when Mary sat at the feet and was just staring at Jesus, and that's stillness. And I believe that stillness is sitting and waiting and just listening and looking at Jesus' face. And I like the words of Jesus at the end when he says that Mary has chosen what is better out of Martha and Mary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And when I was reading those words, I was just abiding in that moment when Mary sat there. We don't know how long it was, and I bet you... When Jesus comes in the secret place and you have no agenda, like OJ says, you can stay there for hours.
Yep.
I have said, actually, when I started going into the secret place almost three years ago, when I started the bride, and I became a bride.
Yep.
I'm 6'5". I'm a tall guy. And I was sitting in this small little closet. And today we're in my new secret place. You know, you're recording. OJ got his place at his house. But I think I got lost. I got lost right now. But I got lost. But what I'm saying is, you know, I don't want to lose the line that I was going to say, but I believe that, you know, it doesn't matter where. I come to a point today that it doesn't matter where you at. The secret place is everywhere. But I believe, my opinion, God always wants us to sit with and separate time. Because even Jesus separated himself from the disciples every night. And I believe that there was every time that the disciples were sleeping, Jesus was praying and spending at the fourth watch, and we can go into context. But
I think it's very true, because
but before you go into that, these words, and I don't want to lose this train of thought, because I think it's
no, go for it.
You know, it says Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And I think it's that moment when she was sitting at Jesus' feet.
Yep.
You know. And that's the stillness. I believe that's when you're at the secret place and you're in stillness and you're abiding, you're in that place that God will not take that away from you. Like, I don't know if you can put your opinion on this, your sense on this, but I believe that moment that she was sitting at the feet, and maybe Damien Thompson can correct me one day, but what I'm saying is, and I love Damien Thompson, I believe he's like an apostle, a voice to my life. But just to honor him, that we're honoring people.
Yes.
I just want to say that. But it will not be taken away from her. And those words really wrecked me, man. I don't know what you think.
No, for me, in my beginning, I was very systematic in the sense that I always went to the secret place to encounter Jesus. Mm. Until one day he said, "But I'm available to you everywhere." Yeah. So one of the encounters that happened in my life at the beginning is to physically walk with Jesus for 14 days. I'm talking about His presence never left me. I'll go to sleep and I'll wake up and my face was numb. I could not feel my face and I was like in another dimension, because it was like a trance that never left me. Mm. And that is something that I still do with him. Every day I walk with him.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is that he's not available only in the place where we think that he's going to be there every time waiting for us, but
yeah.
He's available to us everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of the recent examples is when I went to Washington, I started walking from the Washington Monument towards the Lincoln Memorial, and he joined me on that walk. And I was just quiet and he was just whispering to me.
Yeah.
But it was an encounter that it is not limited to the place where I usually walk with him,
yeah.
But it's everywhere that I go that he follows me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something very important to point out, because at the beginning, I think we just tend to think that God is just going to visit us in a certain place, but he
yeah.
is available to us at all times, everywhere that we are. And it's that hunger that steers the spirit to bring that encounter into
yeah.
our lives. Is that when we honor him to the point that he feels comfortable being around us,
yeah,
is when he starts manifesting to us
yeah.
everywhere that we are. And that comes from that desire
yeah.
of the heart, because I can assure you that in his heart, the number one priority for him is to be reunited with us.
Yes.
That is
That's
the
true.
Number one thing on his heart. I mean, religion teaches us that we need to be perfect to encounter Jesus. Yet the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 the following, "But he answered me, 'My grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds
yeah.
its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weakness. For when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger, for my weakness becomes a portal to God's power."
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 from the Passion Translation. And I mean, I've read this verse so many times, but it wasn't until I started living it
yeah.
in my life when the words of this apostle make sense to me, because this is
yeah.
Paul. This is not, you know, some guy that taught this, but this is probably the most accurate example of Jesus in a man that we can find in the Bible.
Yeah.
And this man says, "Hey, I am weak. But in my weakness, he is made strong. So I'm not troubled by my weakness, but I am delighted. Because
yeah.
every time I'm weak, the power of God overtakes me and reminds me that I'm his." And this is it, man. This is what we seek in devotion, to belong exclusively to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because what is going to happen when we enter into this posture of belonging to him and learning our identity as beloved, as sons and brides of God,
mm-hmm.
what we understand that it's not only that we belong to God, but that God belongs to us as well,
mm-hmm.
because we are becoming one in him. And I just want to finish with this word, saying that we're just extremely honored to start this podcast, and we just hope that it is a blessing to you all. And if you guys have questions or anything, you can message us on Facebook or
yeah.
however. We are here starting this journey, and don't think that this is a difficult path, but it is a choice. I think the kingdom is about choices. And,
yeah.
you know, if you're in a church right now and you feel like there is more, that you're destined for more, it's like Apostle Damon says, it's because you are. And I mean, I heard that calling, Norbert heard that calling, and all of us in the Father's house and
Amen.
In my brothers in South Carolina, they all heard this call. And it's the call of the wilderness, it's the call of intimacy,
Come
of
on.
Devotion,
yes.
and that's where we abide now. We have no. Let me say it this way: we have no other ambition than to belong exclusively to Jesus Christ and to reflect Him in our lives. That is our number one priority, and that's what we're here for to do. So God bless you all, and we'll see you next time.
God bless you all.